All right, Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6. If you'll stand for the reading of God's word, and this is actually our preaching text for tonight, but there is a great parallel that I want to bring to your attention. And then tonight, be back at 6 o'clock as we preach from verses 1 through 7 concerning these amazing men of faith. But this morning, we will call your attention to one verse from Hebrews chapter number 6, and then we'll look at Mark 7. So here's our text. The faith of this dog is sufficient to become a child of Abraham. By the way, it's great to have Mac home from Iraq. Is there anyone else that's back from Iraq over the Christmas holiday? Hey, Jonathan, good to have you here as well. Anyone else home? I saw two hands. Anyone? Don't want to miss anyone. Someone's pointing. All right, welcome home. Thank you so much. So the faith of this dog is sufficient to become a child of Abraham. Let's look at verse number 6. The author of Hebrews writes to us and he says, But without faith, it is impossible to please him, God. It's impossible to please God. For he or her, she, male or female, that comes to God must believe that God is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right, now turn to Mark chapter number 7. And we'll read our preaching text from Mark. There's a parallel text in Matthew 15 that we'll look at as well as we work our way through these verses. Join me and follow along in verse number 24, chapter number 7 of the Gospel of Mark. And from thence he arose and went unto the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered unto the house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. Jesus could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. It is not right to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she came to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Let's pray. Father, you have given us, through the divine preservation and inspiration of your word, an amazing narrative that has for us much, much application, much theology, words worthy of our attention. Would you, O God, come this morning, fill this house with your presence. Give us, O God, ears to hear. Quiet the distractions. Help us to be focused. Save souls. Draw people to yourself today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right, so I want to give you a fair warning. This is an incredible text. This is a preaching text. So I'm going to do my best to give it justice. We enjoyed it at 8:30 unbelievably, and I pray that you will enjoy it as well. Now tonight I'm going to preach from Hebrews 11, 1 through 7. And if you know your Bible, you know that Hebrews 11 is one incredible chapter in the Bible, packed full of names of incredible men and women who lived by faith. We're going to unpack just a little bit of it tonight, and worthy of your attention, But just let's look together at this verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible. Without faith, you'll never enter into the presence of God. You cannot enter into God's presence. You cannot please him without faith. For he that comes to God, he that desires to come to God, he that approaches God must believe that he is. But wait a minute. Not just that he is. For many say, I believe in God. I mean, incredible numbers say, I believe in God. Ask the surveys. Everybody believes in God. Not only must you believe in God, you must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not passively seek him, but diligently, actively seek him. Now, what I found is that our story in Mark 7, Matthew 15, is this text. I mean, this is our story in Mark 7, is the walking, talking, breathing, living illustration of this text. This is the proof text of this text. So let's get started. Jesus is not in Jerusalem. Jesus is not in Galilee. He's not in the home of the Jews. He's not even in Nazareth or any of this region right here. If you know your map, you know that Jerusalem is right down here. Dead Sea is down here. We are way up north. We are on the edge or the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. We are in this region right here. Jews do not live here. We are not in the home of the Jews. That's not where we're at. And he went into this house and would have no man to know it, but he could not be hid. He could not be hid. His fame had spread so much that everyone knew when Jesus arrived, and they couldn't wait to be with Jesus. That's a good focus for 2012. I want to be with Jesus. I want to spend some time with Jesus. I want to hang out with Jesus. And this woman of Canaan came unto the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with this devil. I need some healing, God. She doesn't say God. She says, Lord, son of David. We're not sure whether she understands him to be God at this point. We're not sure. She identifies him as son of David. She knew about David because this very region had provided materials for the building of the temple. This very region had provided supplies, materials. They had sent it down to Jerusalem for the building. They knew that King David, who he was. They knew of Solomon. They knew of the glory of the kingdom of Israel. They knew that they had a promised Messiah. And she knows her daughter is vexed with the devil and needs some healing. And she's gotten word that this man can help. So she says, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And see, there's a parallel. I want to show you this because we're using both texts all morning. Mark 7 is where you're going to land. I'm going to show you Matthew 15. So I want to show you how I'm going to pull the two texts together. Same incident, Matthew, Mark, synoptic gospels. The woman was a Greek or a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by nation. Now, we can't get this because we live in the 21st century. We live in America. We don't have any second-class citizens. We've been working so hard to eliminate any perception that because of your race or your skin color that you're better than somebody else. But that's not the world that she's living in. That's not the world that she's living in. In fact, the reality is she's got two strikes against her. Number one, she's a woman. Number two, she's a Gentile. She doesn't vote like everybody else's. She doesn't have any rights like everybody else's. You can't relate to it this morning. You're going to go vote. You've got authority. You're going to be treated well. You're not a second-class citizen. You can't understand her perspective. You can't understand her plight. You can't relate to it. That's just the reality. The closest that anyone can relate to it would be the days of the blacks and the whites in America, and when we had different water fountains, different restrooms, and different places to eat, different seats on a bus, segregated education. That's the closest we can come to it. And the reality is we're in 2012, and most of us haven't experienced anything like that. So it's going to be a little bit difficult for us to get into this text. Now please notice what the Bible says. But he answered her not a word. And don't miss this. Don't miss this. You're going to have to get into the narrative. She comes and says, "Lord, Son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. I need some help." What is her posture? According to Mark, she is on her knees. She's on her knees. She is down on her knees. She is down on her knees. He's there, and she fell at his feet. She fell at his feet, and she said, "Lord, Son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. I need some help." She's down here on her knees before him, addressing him as Lord. She's doing all the right things, showing humility, acknowledging who he is, and he answered her not a word. Nothing. 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 How many of you prayed about something and feel like, "Are you there?" How many of you been there before? Have you ever prayed about something? I'm praying. I'm not getting anything. He answered or not a word. Those of us in the old army, when it was hard, right? You used to have that wait out. Do you remember wait out? Okay. Wait out meant you're not getting any reply. Don't call back. Wait out. Don't bother us. Now, I know the new army, they don't even use call signs and all that stuff. It's just like chipper chatter and it's totally lost. It's so sad. The old days were the glory days, no doubt. Hey, she got to wait out. She got the hand. The hand, you know what the hand is, right? Talk to the hand. He answered her not a word. Nothing. Nothing at all. In fact, we would say, that's rude. We would say, I cannot believe that you're ignoring her. Imagine if I'm down here at my feet asking Bob, "Bob, I need your help. I really need your help, Bob." And he answers me not a word. We would say, Bob is being very what? Rude. We wouldn't understand it. We would not understand it. Is God obligated to answer me? No. No, see, that's where we're having a problem. We have brought God down to us. We minimized him, brought him down. He's got the characteristics that I have. He worries like I worry. He struggles like I worry. He's not quite the... he's a little bit more. You know, he's my co-pilot. And let me tell you right now, I'd like to rip off every co-pilot license plate I see. I'd like to just walk up and grab my hand and rip it right. I don't care if it does damage to your bumper. What nerve to address God as your co-pilot. King of Kings, Lord of Lords is not your co-pilot. You're lucky you're driving. Fortunate. Or how about this one? How about this one? Jesus is my homeboy. When I see that t-shirt, I would like to snatch that t-shirt right off the person's body. We do not refer to the sovereign God of the universe as your homeboy. Yeah. Well, we got his attention. We've got attention because Jesus is my dear friend that I'm in love with. And he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And he's the sovereign God of the universe. We got attention right there. Now, what happens is we err on one side or the other side. On this side, we don't even have a relationship with him because Davey's that way up, far, far away God that can't be approached, winds the universe up, leaves it alone. On this side of the tension, he's not really even my boss. I mean, he saves me, we're friends, he's cool with me, and I'm cool with him. It's a problem. He answered her not a word. He answered her not a word. And the disciples get involved. Matthew gets involved. James gets involved. Peter gets involved. John gets involved. Hey, send this woman away. Get this Gentile dog out of here. We're here for a rest. We're here for some R&R. We are not here to mess with female Gentile dogs. Get her out of here. Send her away. We need a break. Send her away. She cries after us. She's bothering us. She got the weight out from the Lord, so she now tries Peter. She tries John. She tries James. She approaches the disciples. I need a hearing with the master. I need the master to get involved right now. And their response is not one of compassion, not one of empathy. It's just the opposite. Send the woman away. Get her out of here. But don't be bothered with this woman. Now, if you can't get into the story, you'll not get anything out of the sermon. Because that's what we're doing. We're trying to make you relate to the story. You've got to understand what's going on here. And he answered, he turns to the disciples and says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I am not here for Syrophoenicians. I am not here for Gentiles. Whoa, this is problematic because I am a Gentile. Oh, I don't like these words. I am not sent but unto, the only ones I'm sent are the lost house of sheep of Israel. That's it. I'm not sent to Gentiles. I am not here for these dogs. I am not here for these Greeks. Does that make you uncomfortable? It did me the first time I read through it. I wasn't comfortable reading this. What do you mean you're not here for everyone? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever world. I am sent only to the house of Israel. Get this woman out of here. But notice her persistence. Notice her persistence. She got the weight out. She goes to the disciples. From the disciples, she hears through Jesus, I'm not even sent to you. Now look, after the weight out and I'm not here from you, you'd think the woman had a clue she would have left. That's not what we see happening. That's not what we see happening at all. Notice her persistence. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I got a need here. Lord, help me. I'm not really concerned whether you're sent to the lost house of Israel. I have a need right now. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, and I have a need. Lord, help me. Now, I've got a problem with persistence in prayer. I don't persist like I need to. When I get the weight out, I'm ready to quit. I pray once or twice, and if I don't hear what I want to hear, if God doesn't intervene, I about wear out. I am fragile in my prayer life. I'm not stellar. I'm not an example for anybody. I am easily distracted with weight out. Not this woman. This woman has a true and genuine need, and she says, Lord, help me. In verse 27 of your Bible is the response. Let the children first be filled. It is not right to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. This bread right here on this table was not made for dogs. This bread was made for the children that will sit at the master's table. This bread is not made for dogs. We don't make bread for dogs. Nobody takes the time to make a loaf of bread for dogs. Dogs get leftovers. Dogs get anything other than what was made for the master and the people who sit at his table. Now, again, you and I are going to struggle at understanding this text because none of us in here think of ourselves as dogs. Our problem is that we think too highly of ourselves. That's our problem. That's why we're so easily offended. Who is he to speak to me like that? Doesn't he know who I am? Who are you? Who are you? Sinner saved by grace? A Gentile dog? No, that might be fine for you. But I've been told who I am. My self-confidence is over the top. I've been indoctrinated with humanism to where I know that I'm something special. And that's the problem. Do you know why people aren't flooding to Jesus? Because they don't want to see themselves as sinners in need of salvation. They are pretty good people. They're pretty good people. They haven't done anything like so-and-so did. They don't do that. They're decent neighbors. It's not right to take the bread that was made for the children. This bread was made by somebody. This bread's going to be at the master's table. This bread's going to be passed around. We are not going to take this bread and set it down on the floor like this and let the dogs come eat it. We're not doing that. That is insane. Nobody prepares a loaf of bread and gives it to the dogs. Nobody does that. This loaf of bread was prepared for the children who sit at the master's table. And the children are biological descendants of Abraham. So what's going on here? Is Jesus being rude? I mean, what's good? If rude is sin, then we know that he didn't sin. So what's going on here? I mean, who is he to say such a thing? Where does he come off on saying that she is a dog? She's not a dog. Dogs can go around on four legs. She is a woman created after the image of God. She's not a dog. What is going on here? What kind of provoking statement are we dealing with here? What is happening here? Is Jesus setting the situation up? Is this entire thing being set up for our learning and edification so that 2,000 years later we could preach about it? What's happening here? Who are the children? Well, the answer from Matthew 15 is the answer is the house of Israel. The children are the children of Abraham. You remember Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, 12 tribes? Why did God choose Abraham? Nothing special about Abram. Genesis chapter number 12, nothing special about Abram. He was an idolater, called out of an idolater home. Wasn't a great guy, an idolater. So what is going on? Who are the dogs? Who are the dogs? I got someone else I'm preaching with me. We're going back and forth here. I need an amen from back there every now and then. Who are the dogs? They're everyone else. So does Jesus' statement indicate he loves Hebrews more than Gentiles? Let me give you two truths. Two truths. Truth number one, all humans are descendants of Adam and thus are made in the image of God, and there's no partiality with God. That's the truth. That's true. No question about it. Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. That's what Peter said. Got it? Here's truth number two. You're not going to like this one as well. Everyone said amen to this one. You're not going to like this one as much. The sovereign God of the universe has the right to choose people to be his children as he sees fit. Whoa, wait a minute. I like truth one better. I mean, I'm kind of crazy about truth one. I can do truth two. No. I like it where everything that he does is predicated upon me. Let's look at Romans chapter number 9, please. Romans 9, please. Because Romans 9 is a theological dissertation about the tension we have in Mark 7. Two truths. Romans 9, please. Let me give you a minute to get there because I want you to follow along in your own Bible. You probably want to mark something down here to come back and reread this text and work over it. I'm going to be patient. I want everyone that's listening online to turn in their Bible. Close out the Facebook page and just focus only on the Word of God. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertains the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. They get it all. Whose are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Just because you're a biological descendant of Abraham does not mean you have eternal life. Neither because they are of the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Isaac versus Ishmael. That is, they which are of the children of flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise, are counted for the seed. For this is the word of the promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. You remember that, that's Isaac. And not only this, but when Isaac marries Rebekah, Rebekah also, having conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. Rebekah, as you recall, has two children, Esau and Jacob. Look at verse number 11. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or any evil. Well, then how's the decision made? That the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calls. Has God called you? Has God called you into salvation this morning? It was said unto her, the elder, you recall, that's Esau, shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Whoa, wait a minute. What? I don't like that. Verse number 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? And notice his answer, God forbid. Don't even think that way. There's not an ounce of partiality with God. There's not an ounce of respecting of a person with God. He is not a respecter of persons. He is not unrighteous. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. All the glory goes to him. Every bit of it. All of it. So now, that's the parallel. The fact is, don't miss this, none of this deters the woman on behalf of her father. None of it. None of it. Doesn't even deter. Again, notice her persistence. This is unbelievable. She got the wait out. That didn't work. She got the, I'm not here for you. That didn't work. She got the, it's not right to give the bread to the children until they're all full. She got that. None of that deters her persistence. It doesn't matter to her that she's a Syrophoenician. It doesn't matter to her that he came from the lost house of Israel. It doesn't matter she's not a biological child of Abraham. All that does not matter to her at all. None. She says very clearly, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord is kurios. Let me show you the word. Kurios. It's the possessor and disposer of a thing. You own me, Lord. If you want to call me a dog, I'm a dog. Now we're getting to see her theology. Now we get an understanding. She knows who God is. She says, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, of a truth. It is to whom a person or thing belongs, about which he has power of deciding. It's the master or Lord. You know why some of you are not coming to Christ? Because you're scared that he wants your whole life and you're right. Don't listen to this bunk about he only wants your heart and you can invite him in your heart and he hangs out where you let him hang out. He wants everything. Big toe all the way up. The whole thing. Lord, master, sovereign, king, boss. There's nothing fair about this. There's nothing fair about this. This is unbelievable. This is not fair. It's not fair that she was not a Jew. She's got the faith that Jews should have. And it's not fair she's not a Jew. She should be a Jew. She's got great faith. She needs to be a Jew. It's not fair that she's a Jew. Moreover, it's not fair that her daughter is possessed with a devil. Everyone else in the neighborhood doesn't have a devil. I'm the only one who's got a child with a devil. I can't believe this. How in the world did I get the child with the devil? Nobody else has a child with the devil. This is not fair. I don't like this one bit. She could have said, but Lord, I didn't choose to be a Gentile. When he called her a dog, she could have retorted back. They could have got into a theological conversation. She could have said, wait a minute, Lord, I didn't choose to be a Gentile. This wasn't my choice. How are you calling me something I didn't even choose? That's a lot of nerve. Here. God's not fair. And you better be thankful God's not fair. Yes, let me say it again because I know that you didn't get it. You don't even want to hear that. So let me say it one more time. God is not fair, and you need to be thankful he's not fair. It's not fair that this woman is a dog and someone else is a Jew who doesn't have the faith that she has. It's not fair that she's got more faith than Peter, and Peter's been hanging out with God. That's not fair. It's not fair at all that people died when Christ was on the planet, but Lazarus got brought back from the dead. That was not fair. There's nothing fair about that. Don't try to go around it. Don't try to trick this in your mind. Don't try to ignore what I'm saying. It was not fair that Lazarus was raised from the grave and other people had their brothers die. With fair, no one gets mercy. That's why you don't want fair. See, this is what we want. We want state troopers that are always fair, unless it's me. I want all police officers in Fayetteville to be fair until I'm the one pulled over. Then I want some mercy. Other than that, you need to be fair. You know what fair is? Let me make sure you understand over here on the fair where all the young people are hanging out. Fair is everybody gets a ticket anytime anyone speeds. That's fair. The truth of the matter is we don't want fair. I really don't want fair. I'm so glad that God's not fair. Jesus could have said, Mary, I'm so sorry. Mary, I would have loved to have brought Lazarus back from the life. I would have loved to, but since I haven't done it for anyone else, I'm sorry I can't do it for you. Mary, I would have loved to, but if I start a precedent with Lazarus, I'm going to be doing this nonstop, and it'll never end. So Mary, although I love Lazarus, and I know you're hurting inside, I'm sorry. I don't want to start a precedent. But that's not what he does. He shows mercy when he chooses to show mercy. He shows compassion when he chooses to show compassion. So when we sing about God's compassion, we're singing, I cannot believe that he was compassionate to a Gentile dog like me. The reason worship doesn't mean much to us is because we think that his selection of us was predicated upon our good works. We don't think of ourselves as Gentile dogs. We are good Baptists. That's what we are. Been a Baptist all my life. Look at me. I got a white shirt on today. How many got a white shirt on? We are better Baptists. Amen. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. You hold your head up if you got a white shirt on today as a good Baptist. Blue's a little bit close, and then everything else is downhill. Hey. We're prone to think that way. Not this woman. Not this woman. This woman is an amazing example for me. This woman is how I want to live my life. Truth, Lord, you're right. You're right that you weren't sent to the Gentiles. You're right that I'm a dog. You're right. Truth, Lord, I agree. I'm not even going to try to rationalize my perspective. I'm not going to enter into a theological discussion with you. We're not going to go down this road as to whether you have the right to be sovereign or not. We're not going to go down this road as to whether you have the right to elect anyone. We're not going down this road. That's not why I'm here. I've got a need, Lord. Let's stay focused on my Lord. Need. I've got a need. Yeah, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. I'm not looking for in any way, shape, or form. I'm not asking for a chair at the table. That's not what I asked for, Lord. I didn't ask for a chair at the table. I did not ask for a seat or a plate of food. That's not what I asked for. I didn't ask for a plate. I didn't ask for a chair. I'm not thinking I'm a child. I didn't ask for a loaf of bread. I didn't even ask for a slice of bread. I am more than content to be a dog on the floor, and when a crumb falls from the table, I'll snatch that crumb up. And the reality is, none of us want to think that way of ourselves. We are thinking like the disciples. Can I be on the left side? Can I be on the right side when you enter into your kingdom? That's how we're thinking. And that's why in just a little bit, Peter makes that great confession of faith, and then he says, Satan, get thee behind me. But not this woman. This woman says, truth, Lord. Truth, Lord, you're right. You're exactly right. You're right, Lord. The master does have a right to have a table. You're right, Lord, that the master has the right to invite whoever he wants to the table. You are right. He is his table, and he can invite anyone he wants to the table, and it's his bread, and he can eat as much of the bread as he wants, and he gets to distribute it any way he chooses. Those are all right statements, Lord. I'm content to be a dog on the table in the master's house. I don't need a chair. I don't need a plate. I don't need a seat. I just want to be hanging out in the master's house. That's the right kind of perspective. But let's remember, I get to preach to you one time a week, and CNN preaches to you six times a week. So CNN fills your mind with garbage, 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 garbage. I do deserve that HGTV home. I registered for that thing, and I can't wait till we win that 4,500 square foot home with six bathrooms. Glory to God, I'm looking forward to cleaning every one of those toilets. Instead of arguing about what is fair, this woman appeals to Christ's loving kindness for her daughter who has a demon. We're not going to talk about whether I'm an Israelite or not, so we're not going to talk about those things. I don't need a plate. I don't need a loaf. I don't need a slice. I need a crumb. A crumb will be enough. And look at this amazing response. Do not miss this. He answered her not a word. And every response up to this point was no, no, and some more no. 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 Didn't answer. Then the next one was, I'm not here for you, I'm here for the Israelites. And then the next one was, this bread was not made for you. This bread was not made for you. I'm not dying on a cross for you. Truth, Lord. Not going to argue about that. I am a sinner. I am a sinner. You're right, Lord. I'm not worthy of anything. You're right. You're right, Lord. I'm not worthy of eternal life. I'm not worthy of forgiveness. What I deserve is hell. You're right, Lord. 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 And all of a sudden, to the disciples' amazement, he turns and says, oh, woman, direct address. Direct address. We know about direct address. It's intimate, it's personal. Oh, woman, eye contact is being made right here. Imagine the disciples at this point. A few moments ago, they said, get this Gentile dog out of here. And now Jesus turns, and he cannot believe what he just heard. Of course, he knows what he's going to hear, but he's also a human. And as a human, he is amazed that a Syrophoenician has this kind of faith when she has not seen all that the Jews have seen. Amazing. Oh woman, great is thy faith. You're right, God, you are sovereign. You're right, God, I am a dog. You're right, God, you have the right to elect anyone as you see fit. And I cannot argue with that because you created all things and I am a created being. If that's your decision, that's your decision, Lord. And I am not here to argue with you. And what's the response? Oh woman, great is thy faith. How great was her faith? How great was her faith? Her faith was so great that she didn't ask for the loaf. She didn't ask for the loaf. She didn't ask for a slice. She said, I'm content with a crumb that falls from the plate that was intended for the children. When the children sit down and the children eat like pigs, there's going to be something that falls down here. And whatever the Jews don't want, I'm content to be down here like this. Okay. That's the illustration, whether you like it or not. That's the illustration. Make sure you see it with your own eyes. Whether you embrace it or not as your own personal worldview, that's the illustration, church. Now, none of us like to think of ourselves as dogs because we have been so filled with humanistic garbage that we are not willing to be content with the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Thus, you preach a prosperity gospel that says you're not only getting the bread, you're getting the seat, you're going to get gold china, you're going to get everything you want. That'll fill up a church. You preach the Bible, and there you go. That's the difference. If you don't like what was preaching this morning, there's a prosperity gospel church right around the corner. For this saying, go thy way, the devil has gone out of thy daughter. He doesn't have to go find her, doesn't have to touch her, doesn't have to lay hands on her, he doesn't have to do anything. He is in Syrophoenicia, and he just says, out. Yeah. Out! Sovereign God of the universe says, I'll decide when a demon's in someone, I'll decide how long that person's in there, that demon's in there, and I'll decide when that demon leaves. Glory to God for God!
Yes.
If you're born again this morning, praise God that he chose you before you chose him. Praise God it wasn't predicated upon whether you were good or evil. For we're all evil. There wasn't anything good about any of us worthy of election. None of us. Now, what is just unbelievable is that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is what's just awesome. This is what makes it all come together perfectly. That you Dan can go up to anyone and say, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You don't have to worry about being turned away, because if you come to him in faith, he will never turn you away. Never, never, ever, never. You don't have to go into a discussion about election, because he will not turn away anyone who comes to him. Anyone. And this exact scripture is proof that I'm right. This is a Gentile dog, a Syrophoenician, who he was not sent for, sent away, and in the end, she walks away as a child of Abraham.
Amen.
Notice, no, 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 ye therefore, get it in your brain, know it in your brain, to the church of Galatia, that they which are of faith, not biological descendants, they which are of faith, are the children of Abraham. So you get to be a child of Abraham, even though you can't figure out even who your great-grandfather is, even though you have no idea who your great-grandfather is, your great-grandmother, you have no idea whether you got an ounce of Jewish blood in your body or not, it doesn't matter. By faith, you can become a child of Abraham today. By faith. By faith. We don't need to get sidebarred on this whole thing about election, because we know that any single person that we come up to in Fayetteville or Georgia or anywhere else, and we say, diligently seek after God, go after God with a passion. Seek God when you can find him. Seek God when you can find him. Go out in the field and say, God, are you real? You're struggling this morning. You got to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what you got to believe. God, I believe you're there. I believe you created me. I believe that you're sovereign. I believe that you sent your only begotten son to die on a cross so that my sins could be forgiven. And you're struggling with that truth right now. You're wondering about that truth. You're struggling with that truth. Believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Open the Bible up and say, God, is this your book? And if it is, reveal yourself to me. Get down on your hands and knees and pray. If you're a real God, show yourself to me. And then be super sensitive to the way God will show himself to you all week long. And when he does show himself to you, repent and put your faith in Christ. You getting it? So 2 points of application. Let's go home. Number one, persistence pays off. Persistence pays off. I know how I am. I would have stopped at the first one. I would have stopped at the second one. She doesn't stop, Dick. She doesn't stop. Nothing's going to stop her. My daughter is grievously vexed, and I need someone to heal me. Heal her. That's all that matters. We're not going to get into a theological dissertation. You are sovereign. You are the Lord. This is the truth. I believe in you. Bottom line. Bottom line. I'm not a child of Abraham. You're right. I am a dog. You're right. But none of that changes anything, God. My daughter needs to be healed, and I believe you can do it, so I'm going to put my faith in you. Here it is. I'm putting my faith in you. And when she does, she's born again. Born again, right then and there. Gentile saved. Angels rejoicing in heaven to the glory of God. And the reason we are not coming unglued is because we haven't taken a field trip to hell. If we could take a field trip to hell next week, we'd come unglued every single time a person got saved. So here's my conclusion, and I'm done. Faith as little as a mustard seed is sufficient to move a person from being a Gentile dog to a child of faith. Are you willing to put your faith in Christ today? Are you willing to put your faith in Christ? And the children of Abraham are blood washed, born again, bought with a price, redeemed, sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They have been granted eternal life. Their sins are forgiven, and they have a home in heaven. Amen. How long? Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. There's never a fear that they will come under the condemnation, for there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And that's a truth worthy of singing, preaching, proclaiming to the entire world. Let's pray.